RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs holds symposium to commemorate UNIDO's 50th anniversary. Military chief says military to assist police in securing 2019 general elections. Now the news in detail. To commemorate the 50th anniversary of the United Nations Industrial Development Organization, UNIDO, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and UNIDO Indonesia Office organized a symposium entitled Building on the Momentum, Enhancing the Role of Industry for Sustainable Development. The symposium was held in Jakarta Tuesday. The symposium aimed at informing the public regarding programs of UNIDO, which are based on value addition as well as productivity. Special Advisor to the Minister for Economic Diplomacy, Ridwan Hassan, said the symposium pointed out the role of industry for development.
This symposium is in fact part of the government's commitment to strengthen, while at the same time promote Indonesia's industrial capacity through ways which would contribute to achieving sustainable development goals.
Ridwan Hassan further said, industry will contribute to poverty eradication, women empowerment, and social inclusion. The symposium has objectives to raise public awareness about the role of government in implementing the 2030 agenda and to point out the importance of information, innovation, and technology as tools to achieve sustainable development goals. The symposium was attended by representatives of embassies and Indonesian state agencies. Military Chief General Gatot Nurmantio has confirmed military personnel will assist police in securing the 2019 general elections. Speaking during a meeting with the National Police and House of Representatives DPR Special Committee on the general election at the DPR complex on Tuesday, Gatot said police would manage operations. Gatot said that according to the Constitutional Court decision, that general elections should be done simultaneously, that the security measures on the legislative election alone has become extraordinary. The Constitutional Court has also ruled that the presidential, regional heads, lawmakers, and regional representative elections will be held simultaneously in 2024, while the upcoming 2019 elections will be held to choose a president, vice president, and representative for the legislative board. Gatot also said that security measures should be taken seriously to uphold democracy at all levels, and the military will coordinate closely with the police. Indonesian President Joko Widodo will spend his second day in Iran in a series of meetings with the country's leaders and officials in hopes to strengthen bilateral relations between the two countries. On Wednesday morning, the president will meet Iranian President Hassan Rouhani for tete-a-tete at the Sadabad Palace's Jamhouni building in Tehran. The two leaders will oversee the signing of a number of memorandum of understandings before concluding the meeting with a state lunch. After the meeting, President Joko Widodo is scheduled to meet Iranian Parliament Speaker Ali Larijani and Supreme Leader Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Hosseini Khamenei in two separate meetings at the Parliament Building and the Office of the Supreme Leader, respectively. Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi, who is accompanying President Joko Widodo in his state visit, said the visit to the oil-rich country was meant to improve bilateral cooperation, particularly in the energy sector. She said in a press release, adding that Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Ignatius Jonan was ready to discuss potential cooperation with his Iranian counterpart as a follow-up to the state visit. Multiple gas-powered mobile power plant projects run by state-owned electricity company PLN would help boost export from Hungary to Indonesia, as most turbines for the facilities will be manufactured in the Central European country, a Hungarian lender said. Hungarian Export-Import Bank PLC Hexim CEO Zoltán Orbán said a General Electric or GE factory in the Hungarian city of Ferencvárosjak would supply 15 of 20 turbines used in the new projects, which could generate 500 megawatts of electricity in total. Earlier this month, Hexim, along with Canadian lender Export Development Canada, agreed to finance the projects worth a total of $435 million in a 12-year syndication loan scheme to PLN. Orbán said in a statement on Tuesday that GE in Hungary, cooperating with more than 600 Hungarian suppliers, is a strategic partner of the Hungarian government. This deal proves that Hungary takes an important role in the global value chain of the energy sector. He added that the financing was Hexim's biggest ever participation in a joint financing. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Olympic Council of Asia, OCA, has officially kicked off the operation of its representative office in Jakarta to boost coordination between the Continental Association and the local organizer of the 2018 Asian Games. Speaking to reporters during the inauguration of the office on Tuesday evening, OCA Director General Hussein Al-Musallam said the organization expected its new office in Jakarta would help facilitate better coordination with the Indonesian Asian Games Organizing Committee during the preparations for the upcoming edition of the quadrennial sporting event, during which Indonesia will serve as the host. Indonesian leading sport figure Rita Subowo, who also served as an OCA vice president, has been appointed to lead the office as well as the liaison officer between OCA and the organizing committee. Al-Musallam said that Rita Subowo has been appointed to ensure good coordination among the organizers. Rita, Indonesian Olympic Committee former chairwoman, meanwhile expected that OCA could provide proper assistance so that better preparations and strategies could be implemented. The 2018 Asian Games will be held from August 18 to December 2nd in multiple venues in Jakarta and Palembang in South Sumatra. Khalisan Khalid, head of campaign and network expansion at the Indonesian Forum for the Environment, while he said that government's endeavor to create deterrent effects for forest bombers have not been effective. Khalisa added that the government has not imposed sanctions in the form of permit revocation of fines to corporations for burning forests. As a result, the government has to pay forest restorations from its own pocket. Environmentalist with the University of Indonesia Andri Wibisana said that the corporations, the government can demand restoration funds from corporations when there are lawsuits. However, not all forest fire cases ended up in lawsuits. Lawsuits against corporations related to forest fire cases has emerged since 2013. According to Andri, paying for forest restorations from the state budget is similar to providing subsidies for corporations. In addition, the government remains faithful to these corporations to hold climate change campaigns. Andri suggested that strict law enforcement must be implemented to address the issue. The last item. The Melbourne-based Have Faith Foundation has awarded the Human Rights Education Award to an Indonesian writer and activist. Putu Oka Sukanta, 77-year-old, has been named the foundation's inaugural award recipient for his significant contribution to human rights education in Indonesia, according to a press statement received on December 1st. It says Putu made the contribution through his writing and community education activities. The former teacher cum journalist was an activist of the People's Cultural Institute, LECRA, the leftist organization banned after the 1965 coup attempt. Now working as an acupuncturist in Jakarta, Putu's books have been translated to English, German, and French. He is the founder of the NGO Lembaga Kreativitas Kemanusiaan, or Institute of Human Creativity, which produces films and organizes educational activities focused on restoring humanity of those related to the 1965 case. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs holds symposium to commemorate UNIDO's 50th anniversary. Military chief says military to assist police in securing 2019 general elections. That was the news.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with commentary entitled Bomb Attacks Again. Last weekend, a tense atmosphere struck Turkey and Egypt. Several bomb explosions occurred in both countries. Even in Cairo, a bomb exploded at a place of worship and at least 25 people lost their lives. In Istanbul, it was also horrible. 44 people were killed by bombs that exploded at two locations. The authorities in Egypt accused a member of Ikhwanul Muslimin, or the Muslim Brotherhood, as the mastermind of exploding Cairo. Even Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi himself, while attending the funeral of victims of explosions, named the suspected mastermind behind the main perpetrators of suicide bombing in Cairo. The mastermind, according to a statement by the Ministry of Interior of Egypt, had once fled to a Gulf country. When conducting an investigation, the Egyptian security forces discovered two bombs ready to explode and bomb-making material in the suspect's and his group hideout. The authorities said there were four other names associated with the suspect. The Muslim Brotherhood, however, denied any involvement in the bombings. In Turkey, security forces detained nearly 200 members of the pro-Kurdish People Democratic Party, or HDP, for allegedly having close links with Kurdish Workers' Party, or PKK, militia. The arrest happened after one party wing of the PKK, the Kurdistan Freedom Falcon, or TAK, claim responsibility for the twin suicide attacks on Saturday, December 10, outside a stadium in Istanbul. In retaliation, the Turkish government launched airstrikes in the pockets of the PKK in northern Iraq on Sunday, December 11. The Turkish attacks destroyed the headquarters of Kurdish militants. PKK militia groups in the mainly Kurdish region in northern Iraq have rebelled against Turkey since 30 years ago because it wants more autonomous Kurdish administration in the Kurdish region. The escalation of bombing, either by remote control or suicide bombing, occurred in various places indiscriminately. Whatever the intention and motive of the perpetrators, the victims are usually innocent people. Indonesia certainly condemns the cowardly act like this, but on the other hand, it continues to increase vigilance because such a thing could always happen in the country. Listener, that was commentary for today. Thank you for listening. I'm Dinugraha.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listeners, welcome back to Today in History. We start our segment today from an event which occurred on December 14, 1911, the day Norwegian explorer Roald Amundsen became the first person to reach the South Pole. Inspired by the Greenland crossing by Fridtjof Nansen in 1888, Roald Amundsen decided to spend his life exploring the world. On December 14, 1911, he reached the South Pole with his other team members. Amundsen needed 99 days to reach the South Pole, and he defeated Robert Scott and his British crew, who reached the pole 4 years later. The Norwegian explorer was not only the first man to reach the South Pole, he was also the first man to reach the North Pole and Northwest border. On December 14, 1981, Israel seized the Golan Heights. On December 14, 1981, Israel ratified a law in parliament that declared Golan as part of its territory. However, 3 days later, on December 17, the United Nations UN Security Council released the resolution number 497 that mentioned Israel's ownership of Golan was illegal. The UN's reaction showed that the international people did not accept colonialization by the Israeli Zionist regime. However, Israel never complied with the law and international resolution, with various intrigues continuing to stabilize its position in the surrounding area, including Golan Heights in Syria. Now we conclude Today in History with an event which occurs on December 14th as the Day of Indonesian History. The Day Indonesian History was declared in the Seminar of Indonesia's Historiographical Appreciation with the theme "The Science of History and Future Challenges," which was implemented by the Education and Culture Ministry in Yogyakarta on May 5th to 8th, 2014. Based on the forum's decision, National History Day was decided to be commemorated on December 14th annually. The day referred to on the implementation of the first Indonesian History Seminar on December 14 to 18, 1957. The decision of Indonesian History Day on December 14th was made because the day was a momentous change of the first changes of view in the historiography from the Dutch center to the views of Indonesia centrists. Indonesian History Day is hoped to foster a love for Indonesia's history. Listener, that was today's edition of Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome to Voi Green. Today's edition of Voi Green is entitled
2016 is the year of free smoke disaster. Listener, after almost two decades, the communities in the forest and land fire-prone areas can finally feel smoke-free, especially in Sumatra and Kalimantan. In November of this year, the number of hotspots was lowered 70 to 90% nationally. This was reported by the Ministry of Forest and Environment, Siti Nurbaya, to media in Jakarta on Friday, December 9. Minister Siti Nurbaya said, for the first time, in 2016, Indonesia will be free from severe forest and land fires, as all fire-prone areas are being well managed mutually by the government and the people. Minister Siti Nurbaya mentioned that the lowering of hotspots nationally can reach 80 to 92% according to NOAA and Terra methods of hotspot decreasing. The total number of hotspots compared to 2015 in 2016 from observation by the NOAA 18-19 were lowered from 21,000 to merely 3,000 hotspots. While based on satellite imaging from Terra, Aqua, NASA in the same period, the number of fires in 2016 reduced drastically. The minister also said the condition is not set apart from various efforts such as patrolling, which is conducted every day with 23 units helicopters that are standby operated, water bombing of 92 million liters of water, as well as artificial rain, and law enforcement steps with administrative, criminal, and civil sanctions. The minister added, for the first time, there has been committed administrative sanctions in forestry crime by the revocation of licenses, freezing, and government-imposed sanctions. Minister Siti Nurbaya admitted the significant reduction in forest fires cannot be separated from the serious effort of integrated teams in handling the issue. They worked loyally to ensure the hotspots did not spread widely. For locations which were difficult to be reached by land, the fire eradication effort was conducted by air. To maximize effort to control land and fire forest fires, the provincial government also has set an alert stages of emergency disaster relief for smoke from forest and land fires, such as in the province of Riau, South Sumatra, West Kalimantan, Central Kalimantan, Jambi, and South Kalimantan. Minister Siti Nurbaya ensured that, with the unity and seriousness of all parties to take on responsibility and honesty to look at existing conditions, the chronic ecological problems Indonesia has faced can certainly be overcome. Listener, that was Voy Green.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. To commemorate the 50th anniversary of the United Nations Industrial Development Organization, UNIDO, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and UNIDO Indonesia Office organized the symposium entitled Building on the Momentum, Enhancing the Role of Industry for Sustainable Development. The symposium was held in Jakarta Tuesday. Military Chief General Gatot Nurmantio has confirmed military personnel will assist police in securing the 2019 general elections. Speaking during a meeting with the National Police and House of Representatives DPR Special Committee on the general election at the DPR complex on Tuesday, Gatot said police would manage operations. Indonesian President Joko Widodo will spend his second day in Iran in a series of meetings with the country's leaders and officials in hopes to strengthen bilateral relations between the two countries. On Wednesday morning, the president met Iranian President Hassan Rouhani for a tete-a-tete at the Saadabad Palace's Jamhouri building in Tehran. Multiple gas-powered mobile power plant projects run by state-owned electricity company PLN would help boost export from Hungary to Indonesia, as most turbines for the facilities will be manufactured in the Central European country. The Olympic Council of Asia has officially kicked off the operation of its representative office in Jakarta to boost coordination between the Continental Association and the local organizer of the 2018 Asian Games. Khalisa Khalid, head of campaign and network expansion at the Indonesian Forum for the Environment, while he said that government's endeavors to create deterrent effects for forest burners have not been effective. Government has not imposed sanctions in the form of permit revocation or fines to corporations for burning forests. The Melbourne-based Herb Faith Foundation has awarded the Human Rights Education Award to an Indonesian writer and activist. Putu Oka Sukanta, 77 years old, has been named the foundation's inaugural award recipient for his significant contribution to human rights education in Indonesia, according to a press statement received on December 1st. Listener, that was News in Brief.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia Broadcasting Daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit West Sumatra Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, if you want to enjoy beautiful natural phenomena, we suggest you to go to Tarusan Kamang Lake in West Sumatra. This lake is quite unique because it contains of water in certain time. Someday it is seen so white like lake in general, but in unexpected time, this lake can change to be expanse of green pastures. When becoming the lake, at the middle of the lake, there is like a mound of earth, which is not flooded by water. Because of that, local people call it as Danau Dua Muka or Two-Faced Lake. Listeners, this appearance of lake water into the earth and appearing in green pastures gap without being able to guess the time is thought to occur because of the existence of an underground river. A scarce lake, when groundwater rises, the hollows on the bottom of the hill limestone will poke water and cover pasture. It appears white lake. Whereas when underground river water is down, water is sucked until just seems pasture. At the lake, visitors can enjoy fishing and playing ball while enjoying the scenery, which is really beautiful and still natural, so that it's suitable for you who have photography hobby. If you like going down the cave, there are many active caves under Karst Hills. Past Tarusan Kamang Lake was only wide fields, which was never considered as tourism object. This lake has begun to be well known since a photographer took pictures this place and some people uploaded the pictures to social media. This place also became location of a film Tenggelamnya Kapal Van der Witch. Taman Karusan Lake is located at Nagari Kamang Mudia Kamang Magek Subdistrict Agam Regency West Sumatra Province. From Bukit Tinggi, you can drive a private car or go by public transportation from our Kuning Terminal in Bukit Tinggi. The distance is around 20 kilometers from Bukit Tinggi and takes around 30 minutes. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Tarusan Kamang Lake. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled Hobby, which in English means hobby. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say them slowly and you can repeat after me. Hobby. Hobby, which means hobby. Akhir pekan. Akhir pekan. Weekend. Suka. Suka. To like. Olahraga. Olahraga. Sport. Nonton TV. Nonton TV. To watch television. Memancing ikan, memancing ikan, to fish. Menyanyi, menyanyi, to sing. Menari, menari, to dance. Mendengarkan musik klasik, mendengarkan musik klasik, to listen classical music. Film, film, film or movie. Nanti malam, tonight. Bersama, bersama, together. Jam berapa? Jam berapa? What time? Jam 7 malam. Jam 7 malam. 7 p.m. Listener, now we give you an example of conversation entitled hobby, or in English means hobby. The conversation is between A. Danu and B. Lina. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. A. Danu, apa yang suka kamu lakukan di saat akhir pekan? Apa yang suka kamu lakukan di saat akhir pekan? Which means, what do you want to do at the weekend? B. Lina, aku suka berolahraga. Aku suka berolahraga, menonton TV. Menonton TV dan memancing ikan. Dan memancing ikan. Kalau kamu? Kalau kamu? Which means, usually I do sport, watching TV and fishing. How about you? A. Danu, aku suka menyanyi, menari, dan mendengarkan musik klasik. Aku suka menyanyi, menari, dan mendengarkan musik klasik. Which means, I like singing, dancing, and listen to classical music. B. Lina, apakah kamu suka nonton film? Apakah kamu suka nonton film? Do you like to watch film? A. Danu, suka. Suka. Yes, I do. B. Lina, kalau begitu, bagaimana kalau nanti malam kita menonton bersama? Kalau begitu, bagaimana kalau nanti malam kita menonton bersama? Well, why don't we watch movie together tonight? A. Danu, baik, jam berapa? Baik, jam berapa? Okay, at what time? B. Lina, jam 7 malam. Jam 7 malam. In English, at 7 p.m. A. Danu, baik, aku tunggu kamu di rumah. Baik, aku tunggu kamu di rumah. In English, all right, I wait for you at home. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again tomorrow. And sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we'll introduce an Indonesian pop singer who also known as one of Indonesian diva, namely Ruth Sahanaya or Utek. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Kaulah Segalanya by Ruth Sahanaya. Happy listening.
Mengatakan yang sesungguhnya, kaulah segalanya.
Listeners, you've just listened to the song Kaulah Segalanya. Together with her two colleagues, Chris Dayanti and Titi DJ, Ruth Sahanaya form as the Three Diva. The name is very appropriate for them because the three famous singers have outstanding capability in the field of singing. Likewise, their songs are very popular in the country, even abroad. The relationship between Utep with Chris Dayanti and Titi DJ in the Three Diva brings more experience in her singing career. Utep, who is Ambon Bleed, since adolescence has often appeared to sing. She began her career in the Indonesian music industry in 1987 when she launched her first album entitled Kasih and sold out in the market. The name of Ruth Sahanaya or Utep more well known when she launched the song Kaulah Segalanya or You Are My Everything. Utep not only succeed in selling albums, but also achieved a lot of title in various festivals. Some festivals have been followed by Utep, included Midnight Sun Song Festival in Finland in 1992, received the title of Grand Prix winner, and became a guest vocalist in the concert of Mario Frangoli in Herod Atticus Acropolis, Athens, or Greece, on October 5-6, 2002, and she also performed in a duet with Mario's slow song Naturaleza Muerta. Utep also has a duet with Phil Perry in the East-West Collaboration in Peace event at Garuda Wisnu Kencana, Jimbaran, Bali, in December 2002. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Astaga by Ruth Sahanaya. Happy listening. Listener, the song that you've just listened entitled Astaga by Ruth Sahanaya, Utek. The song is proven that Utek is not only succeeded in a medium slow beat, but she also favored in a rapid and dynamic music. Utek has held large concerts several times, such as the 25th anniversary concert in 2011. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Bawalah Daku Pergi by Ruth Sahanaya. Happy listening and sampai jumpa. Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Selamanya
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.